Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into Fantasy Football University, FFU. I am Mr. Bill DeCousas. I am here with Mr. Tom Lang, coming to you yet again in the offseason for a big show today. Mr. Lang, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. I'm ready for our big show before the season begins.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is indeed. And I'm glad you're ready. We got a lot to get to today. Just to prime everybody up, we're going to be discussing all the latest injuries, the latest situations, contracts, suspensions, injuries, et cetera, around the league for all the relevant players. And we're going to be providing our final rankings and tiers for every single position, fantasy football. And we'll point out different formats if that is. We're going to hook you guys up today. We got a big show planned. All right, so let's jump right in. We got a lot to get to with a lot of the different teams. So we won't really blitz through it, but we'll try to get through it really quickly. We're going to go in alphabetical order through the teams. We'll make a note of everything irrelevant. So Arizona, nothing to mention. Atlanta, Darnell Mooney, his shoulder. He has no return timetable. Raheem Morris does not know when he'll be back. It makes me feel better about Pitts in London. You worried? Not worried about Mooney?
No, I'm not as worried. I mean, you know, they have some talent around that offense as well too, with their other pass catchers. So, and obviously you got Bijan Robinson there, so not too worried.
Okay. Baltimore, we've got Isaiah Likely. We know the foot situation from a while ago. He's going to undergo surgery this week. He's got a 6-week recovery that's going to put him out for the first couple weeks of the year. Yeah. That's why we feel better about Andrews. And then we've got Hopkins, who may or may not have been relevant in your own mind, not in ours. But we just thought we'd mention he missed practice Monday with a knee. Should be okay. But
yeah, it's the veteran knee injury.
Yeah. Let's go to Buffalo. Khalil Shakir, this is a big one. He's still out with the ankle. According to what they're saying in Buffalo, he should be ready to start the season. I don't like this. You got to get in some kind of practice, what we've been saying the whole year. He's already dipped in drafts. I'm probably not going to be buying the injury dip until he falls to a certain point. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, obviously chemistry is the biggest thing. It seems like obviously on Hard Knocks that Palmer is getting a little bit more reps with, you know, Josh Allen, and you know they're developing a nice chemistry. And obviously Coleman being out there, he's seeing a lot of looks and targets as well too. So I love Khalil Shakir. I think he's a great talent. But you know, he may be something that maybe later in the season. So I wouldn't be taking him as early as he's been ADP wise. And you know, hopefully he could fall. So yeah, I think it's a little bit of a loss right now with him.
Normally we won't ever comment on a kicker situation, but we feel like this one is kind of worth it. So Tyler Bass, he has a pelvis injury. Hopefully he's hopeful for the final preseason game. I only mention this because he tends to be one of the first couple kickers off the board, and he's got all the tools necessary. If you do have a kicker league, one of the best kickers, if he doesn't play before the opener, I'm not drafting him. So just keep that in mind.
Yep.
Carolina, big one. Tet McMillan, he is still have the hamstring situation. It's minor, according to what they're saying. He should be back next week. My view on it is he better get in some practices before the start of the year. Like I think he's ready to roll. We believe in him, but I am not going to be okay if he does not practice at all.
I'm a little nervous. I mean, especially when hamstrings start popping up like a week and a half, 2 weeks before the season starts, it's a little nerve-wracking because, you know, as we all know when it comes down to fantasy, you know, fantasy football, not only that, but regular football, hamstrings linger, and even when they dissipate, you know, when you try to go 100% down the field on one of those big plays, that's when they start lingering back up again. I think we all remember, you know, being afraid with what's his name? I just went blank. on the Texans, Nico
Collins.
Okay. You know, remember he came off that hamstring injury. His first play down the field was an 80-yard touchdown that got called back. So, you know, we were a little terrified on that. But, yeah, it's definitely nerve-wracking. Something like that can linger into the season as it goes.
Yep. Jalen Coker, wide receiver 3-ish, I guess, for the Panthers. Illness.
He was relevant last year.
For a little bit, yeah. He won't play in the final preseason game. He'll be okay. He probably won't be relevant this year, but he'll be okay. Yeah. Chicago, Roschon Johnson. He has an undisclosed injury. He'll be out until next week. I think he'll be okay, just judging from what I'm hearing. However, I actually think he's going to be a relevant player. We'll get into that when we get into the
Good
tiers.
luck with that.
I know Tommy doesn't think as much. We'll get into that. Cincinnati, Gesicki. This is a big one for tight ends purposes. He's hamstring. He's out until next week. Since he was already a late round shot, and it was like with an upside pick, if he's not getting in practices and he's got hamstring issues, he's off my board. Then he's completely off of a, as a late round shot.
Yeah, I mean, Fanta Claus is there too, so.
Favorite player. Let's go to Cleveland. Kenny Pickett, hamstring day to day. Shedeur Sanders, oblique day to day. So I have a note here on a thing of analysis for Pickett and Shedeur, and the note is Flacco all the way.
Yeah, I mean, it just
It
leaves
doesn't
Flacco to
matter.
be the starting quarterback for a more extended period of time. So just
I
guys,
know.
just continue to be hurt or or Flacco or your fantasy players are not going to be relevant anymore.
Flacco was already named the starter, as was Daniel Jones. We'll get to that too. And considering Cleveland is playing the Bengals, week one of the season, man, we got to talk about Cleveland. All right, we'll get to them.
Going to be very
Also
interesting.
for Cleveland's, we thought we'd mention the Judkins situation. So this is complicated. So he's still not signed. There is no confirmation on if and when a suspension is happening, if it's happening, when it's happening. Here's the most important thing. He has not been practicing. He will not face any formal charges. So that's irrespective of what the league might do. So I really don't know what to make of the situation. I've adjusted him in our tiers and rankings. I think you're just as confused as I am with this. The way that I'm reading it is that he's not going to be relevant for the first half of the season. That's the way I'm reading this.
Yeah, I know, but the thing is, if he's not being charged for something, he may not even be penalized in football relevance to it. So, like, if he's not being charged for something, that it's saying, all right, it didn't happen.
He hasn't been there. He hasn't been practicing. I mean, but wait
I
a
think
second. People get
I
acquitted of charges all the time that they still get a suspension for. I mean,
yeah, sometimes.
well, we'll talk about him today because I actually like he's a difficult player to fully evaluate. Let's go to Dallas. Jaden Blue, real darling of the offseason. He has the heel injury. He's trending positive. He's likely to suit up for the final preseason game. If that's what he does, then I'll be perfectly okay with him. I
That's
think he's a
fine.
late round shot. Denver, nothing to mention. Detroit, Laporta. He has an undisclosed injury. They're not sure of the timetable there. I'm worried about the situation, not just because of the fact of he's got to get in and get to practice, but because I think he's too expensive anyway. He's among these not top three tight ends that still cost a bit. Like he's not going to be on any of my teams anyway, so I guess it's like a thing. But for anybody who's like all about him, like you're
Yeah,
paying so
I mean,
much.
he had an undisclosed injury that he's participating in practice, so I'm really not too worried about that.
No, but just something to keep an eye on. All right, Green Bay, get out your notes, everybody. So Jordan Love, thumb. He's got the thumb injury limited. He should be okay for the season. No, nothing to cry about. Marshawn Lloyd, this is so sad. There's so many hopes for him. Hamstring, he's going to miss time. It's official. He's not going to be backing up Jacobson. He's basically got his NFL career on the line here. He's got to do something this season. He's got to do something just to even practice. I mean, he
Is
didn't
it a,
play.
is it is it is it a second string running back situation in Green Bay? Because the same thing happened a couple of years ago with Dylan.
Maybe they got
Hello.
to fix their run. They have the same things going on with the 49ers, which we'll get to a little bit later. So just the important thing to note there is like if you're looking for a quote unquote handcuff or backup, Wilson is the backup, Emmanuel Wilson, and he was good last year in spelling for Jacobs. Jaden Reed, he's got the foot. He's no longer wearing a boot. His timetable is for late next week, perhaps. They're not being confirming that stuff. For me, and I am a huge fan of Jaden Reed, I think he's the best. I do personally think he's the best receiver in Green Bay. Yep, I said it. For me, basically off my board until he gets in some kind of practices. I think the opportunity there is good for Golden. So, I mean, unless he drops real far, but that's basically it to mention. Watson, he's got the knee situation. He's starting the season on the PUP. That's it. Feel good about Golden, therefore. And Wicks, he's got the calf. He won't play in the final preseason game. He's not practicing either. Again, makes me feel good about Golden,
Yeah,
basically.
somebody's got to catch the ball.
Right. Let's go to Houston. Tommy's favorite injured running back. So Joe Mixon, he's got the foot, no lock to be ready for the season, and the vibes are bad. Like if you hear the way they talk about it, it's not looking good. based on where his ADP is, completely off my board.
Yeah, it's scary that he hasn't dropped in ADP and people are still picking him, at the
Gosh.
fifth, sixth round. It's quite funny to see that happen. So, people that don't do their homework, good luck.
I just wanted to mention, we'll talk about it in tiers, but like Chubb could be a late round steal. So could Pierce. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how that backfield turns out. But again, we'll see what happens with Mixon. Let's go to Indianapolis. Downs. He's got the hamstring and he's day to day,
These
unfortunately.
downs.
He's got it again. Well, this is going to sound like a broken record. He's got to get into some kind of practices for me to want him before the season. So let's keep an eye on that for the next week. Jacksonville. Travis Hunter, he's got an upper body undisclosed injury. No idea what that means.
Yeah, but he's practicing.
Yeah, he had limited practices. Day to day, he's likely to return to full next week. I think he'll be fine regardless. Kansas
Mean, he's
City.
got to play on both sides of the ball.
Well, then he better be healthy. So, Kansas City, Hollywood Brown, he's got the foot. He's resumed practice, but limited. Let me just tell you right now, because man, those times that I took Hollywood away, I am so done with Hollywood Brown as a thing. It's done. He hasn't had any relevance in
Yeah,
multiple years.
but he has no fantasy relevance, like when it comes down to like his ADP. So like if you could take him in the 13th, 14th round and he does nothing, he's just gonna find his way on the waiver wire. Might as well just hold him on to week one, week two and see what happens.
You and I both know there's other guys in the 13th round that were okay. Take like I am. He will never end up on my team. I'm so done with him. Rashee Rice. Here's another complicated situation. So Rashee Rice, he won't have a hearing on his suspension until week five. He's likely to be suspended for some time, but it won't happen until sometime after week five. Honestly, the way I read this is like, listen, I prefer early season to late season because you could get ahead and then you could readjust your thing. Maybe draft as an early season guy, trade him away, or just readjust or figure out
Yeah,
what
but
you're
the
going to
value
do.
has to make
The
sense.
value has to make
You
sense,
can't
right?
be taking him in the fourth round for
I know.
five games to start the season.
I think his ADP is not going to meet where I would do it. You're right.
Yeah.
Kareem Hunt, quad contusion. He's likely back next week. He'll be fine. But I'm actually grown to be more on Tommy's opinion that Pacheco is going to be the guy. I think he didn't have as good a chance coming back from the injury last year. Now, in terms of how good that is for fantasy, well, it remains to be seen. But I think Pacheco's the guy.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Chargers. So Quentin Johnston, it was a scary injury. Head, he was carted off the field. Now he's day to day. It's
Maybe
not
he can
good.
catch you after that injury, though.
Maybe that's a real mean thing to say. It's not good, but I feel better about Keenan and Ladd because he was going to be part of the, part of the pass catching, situation. Feel better for the future of Trey Harris as well.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of Harris is on the Chargers, Najee Harris, the saga continues. So his eye situation, he's finally participating in some drills. He's not actually practicing, but we have completely rethought how we think about the Chargers offense. We are all in on like that's it. It's just Omari and Hampton time. He's gotten all the practices. He's been doing, and it's going to be amazing on a team that Mr. Harbaugh wants to run the ball every play. So Omari Hampton's going to be great. He's going to be good. Let's go to the Rams. Stafford. I'm basically so
I'm a little
Stafford.
worried.
I'm worried about it, all this. So Stafford's back practicing in 7-on-7 and some limited drills. He has no timetable on a full return. This situation has made me worried about the Rams in general. Stafford is tough, but I have no. Even if he somehow scrounges to make his way to the start of the season, do you have any faith in the fact that he's not going to get injured at some point during the season, that it's going to get all ruined? Like, how do you view all the Rams here?
You still have to feel somewhat decent about the running game because, you could lean on the running game with injuries like that, with a quarterback injury. The only problem I have is, obviously you have two big wide receivers. You have, Devonta Adams that's there that just got signed by them, and then obviously
Puka
Puka
Nacua.
Nacua. And Puka Nacua is going way too high if there's going to be a quarterback injury,
If, yeah.
on the field. So, I'm a little hesitant on Puka Nacua. I've always been hesitant on him. Not in regards of this, injury, but I think this just dampers it even more. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you start seeing Nacua go into the third, the second round, like early second round, and Davante Adams falling into the fourth. it would make sense for something like to happen because of the in, you know the injury with their quarterback. But again, yeah, it just I feel like the passing game is definitely dampened down a little bit more, and the running game actually has popped up a little bit more for myself. I could see honestly Blake Corum could be a late round sleeper.
Sure.
You know, for teams not only as obviously the backup to Williams, but just having some fantasy relevance and value to itself.
Completely agree. We're going to take, and when we point out the tiers, you guys will see where we're worried about some of those guys. So we'll point that out. Let's go to the Las Vegas. Nothing to mention there. Let's go to Miami. So Darren Waller, he's got the undisclosed injury, and the undisclosed injury being like he's not ready for football. He hasn't started practicing with the team at all. We are definitive on this. It is not going to be a good season for him. Don't buy into it. It's just you can't operate. You can't just roll out of bed and just you can't. Not
He
at his age,
wasn't.
not what he's doing.
He was rolling out of the rap game, and now he is on the football field.
Yeah, let's talk about Devon Achane. So he's got the calf injuries day to day. He, according to them, he should be good next week. However, I'm sure it's going to be fine. However, Tommy's brought up some interesting concerns to me about Achane. He's injured a lot. He was kind of a he was pretty good last year in terms of staying healthy. Obviously, he was very good for fantasy, but he is in injury prone. He did not have a lot of good injuries his first year. And there's also rumors that they might try to bring in another back. Maybe Ollie Gordon gets some more time.
Yeah.
He is some injury. There is some injury concern there. It's worth pointing out he's a very, very top end back. So just keep it
Well, I
in
will
mind.
say the back that they might bring in is not the same kind of back that Achane is. It's a completely different style of a back.
Completely different. And I've felt a lot better about Achane this offseason as soon as they traded Jonnu Smith, because I'm like, Devon Achane's going to get all those small area targets that Jonnu used to get because they're not throwing it to Darren Waller.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Tyreek. He's got the oblique injury. He won't practice. He should be back next week. Tyreek will be fine.
Yeah.
Alexander Mattison, he had the season-ending injury. He's on IR.
Yeah, that was rough.
We bring this up because I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. Let's imagine they don't bring any other backs in there, that Jalen Wright is the backup. Could be Ollie Gordon. So
Yeah, I
we'll.
think Ollie Gordon probably takes over more so than Wright. Wright didn't look too good this preseason yet.
No, but things could change. Things could change. All right, Minnesota. Justin Jefferson. He's got the hamstring thing. It's starting to annoy me. He should begin practicing very, very soon. Again, as a broken record, this guy's got to get in some practices for me to not just completely pass on him
Yeah,
on ADP. I mean,
I agree, but there's also a different level of
right,
talent
he's
with
Jefferson,
Justin
right?
Jefferson. I mean, he could go out there and, kill it,
Sure.
just be Justin Jefferson. So.
Jordan Addison, it's been confirmed, so he's been suspended 3 games. I would say it depends on where he is in the draft. If you think you can support somebody who's not going to help your team for 3 straight games and keep him on your team, that's fine. And I should also point out that we don't exactly know how good or conservative or whatever JJ McCarthy is going to be. We actually think he's going to be good. So he might end up favoring Jefferson and Hockenson. It might not end up being worth it anyway. You judge it on your team. We'll get to it when we get to the tiers. Again, he won't help your team for 3 straight games. New England, Ramondre Stevenson, undisclosed injury. He's returning to practice. He'll be okay. I just thought we'd mention though, I mean, Henderson is he's going to lead that backfield. It's going to have plenty of time though for Stevenson, plenty of time.
Yeah, I think it's going to start 50-50, but then it's
Right.
going to the talent of, Henderson is going to take over.
I
I
forget
think
his.
honestly, I feel Stevenson will pretty much be the third down back, if not goal line back at times.
Bourne for Ken Bourne, I think I believe his name is. He's got the leg injury, won't practice, and is ruled out for the final preseason game. I just want to mention their receiving core is dealing with some a couple injuries. It makes me feel better about Diggs, and maybe to a lesser degree, Boutte as a very, very, very late shot. So and Stephon Diggs though, you talk about another complicated thing. So he's got the knee thing, but according to them, he's ahead of schedule, quote unquote. No
It's
confirmation on if he's officially going to play. We think he's gonna.
the veteran knee issue.
We think he's going to play. We think he's going to get lots of targets. He's a good late value where we see him. All right. So amazingly, New Orleans doesn't have an injury. They just have a bad team. Moving on. So the New York Giants, Malik Nabers. All right, Mr. Giants fan, why don't you tell me what's going on with Malik Nabers here?
Head, shoulders, knees, and toes. I mean, everything. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think they're just being very conservative right now with him. There's no reason for him to be killing it in practice, especially being the best player on that offense, to be honest. So, I'm not as worried as I would be if, because he's still getting some practice in. He is getting like, he's not getting contact practice in, but he's been looking okay. So I'm not too worried about it right now. He is Malik Nabers.
Are you going to be worried if he doesn't get into practice?
I will be worried if he doesn't get in practice the week of week one.
Okay. So you'll give him
Full speed practice.
that
But
long of a lead.
I think that we'll be in a better position at that point.
Well, we'll talk about him again when we get to tiers, because he's like, in terms of guys in his tier, I would take all of them over him right now. But we'll get to that when we get to him. All right, so the Jets, my horrific team. So Isaiah Davis, he's got an ankle injury. He's expected to play in the final preseason game. He'll be okay. I just want to point out, I still don't know what to make of this as a Jets fan, that this whole committee thing. I personally think that commentary is overblown. However, you could hedge your bets. I mean, Tommy and I were both like, maybe it is some kind of a committee, and Braylon Allen is worth it at the end of drafts. We'll get to that when we talk about that. Alan Lazard, he's got the shoulder. He'll miss 2 weeks. To me, this means it is Garrett Wilson and Mason Taylor that are going to get every single passing target in New York. So we're big fans of Mason Taylor too. So we'll keep it going. Philadelphia, AJ Brown. This is another annoying one. The
Yeah.
age. So he's got the hamstring. He's still not practicing. He hasn't practiced the whole training camp. So, but he like it was like the first couple of days, and then he's out for the rest of the training camp.
Yeah,
He's another.
I'm really nervous on this one now.
Yeah. Now, normally we agree, like generally, like, hey, for the superstar guys, they'll eventually get back and they'll get it going. But he's got to get in something. And he's also getting higher in age at this point. Like, I'm a bit worried about this. So he's dropped to like the lowest part of the other tier that he could be. Yeah, I'm worried. All right, let's go to Pittsburgh. Calvin Austin, he's got the abdomen injury. He's limited to sideline drills, expected to be back next week. He's technically, I guess, the wide receiver two-ish in Pittsburgh. We don't know how valuable that's going to be. I mean, but just relevant that he should be back if you were thinking of taking a late round shot. Also for Pittsburgh, Jonnu Smith, he's got the knee injury. He missed practice and he's day to day.
Veteran knee injury.
Right. That's your favorite thing. I'll just say, if he's out an extended period of time, I'll go back to thinking Freiermuth is like a, emergency tight end,
Yeah,
but
I think Jonnu Smith is going to find his way in the backfield a little bit too. So
maybe
he's going to be a scat tight end.
the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to beat the New York Jets 11-9 in the season opener. Mark my words. All right, let's go to Seattle. Ken Walker. There's another one. I'm so done with this. The foot, he's got no timetable, and there's literally no info coming out of the Seahawks, like the beat
I
staff.
think Kenneth Walker is the most valuable player to be drafted only if you take
Charbonnet. I mean, he has.
Charbonnet. The only way you have to lock up that backfield if you want to take Kenneth Walker, which I don't think there's a lot of value in taking both those
It's
guys.
just so frustrating. It's so frustrating. I can't imagine taking him on my team as an RB2. I can't. Like, you would have to trust him. You can't
Yeah.
trust him to do anything.
The fourth round.
Yeah. All right. All right. Boys and girls, let's get out the encyclopedias. Let's talk about the 49ers now.
I am going to strike you on one of these because I do have some news. So go ahead.
Okay. Is it the Garendo news?
Garindo is back at practice yesterday.
Perfect. 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 All right. So
So
let's.
take him off the list.
All right, so let's talk about every other running back first of all. So Patrick Taylor, shoulder dislocated in Saturday's game. He's got no timetable, hopeful for the opener. I don't believe he will be. Corey Kiner, high ankle sprain, no timetable, hopeful for the opener. I don't think he'll be. Abdullah, he's got the ribs and he's on IR now. He might get released at some point. Jordan James, he was the rookie that they drafted, who I thought was pretty good. Broken finger, hasn't been practicing, should be back next week. I think he'll be the third behind Garendo. But Garendo's back. He's back from his injury. He's back being locked and loaded as your commensurate Christian McCaffrey. handcuff that if you do not leave that draft with, you don't deserve to play fantasy football if you have Christian McCaffrey. And also take a shot on him if you don't. Like, it's too valuable. Let's talk about the wide receivers. Ayuk, as we know, he's got the ACL. He's starting on the PUP. It could end up being longer than the minimum of 4 weeks. It could be up to 6 weeks, maybe more. And even if he comes back, I have no confidence in him performing at an elite level. So, and we bring that up because there's another guy on this injury report that is now going to make me have to eat crow for no for some reason. So,
And his
Juwan,
name is not Ricky Pearsall.
no. So Juwan Jennings, he's got the calf injury. I don't know if it's an actual injury or not. The point is, he's still not practicing and the contract has not been
I
resolved.
think it's called the contract calf injury.
The contract calf. I'll say this, the fact that he's not practicing really worries me. And the fact that Ricky Pearsall has been looking great, on top of the fact that he's hungry, he's ready to roll. This is going to be his first season as a start. Like,
They do. They do say that the contract is the Achilles heel of the calf.
Great. If you can make more funny puns and little things like that, we could. So the way I'm reading this now is, like, I don't want to say I'm off the Jennings train, but, like, because they're going basically back to back in ADP, I'm on the Pearsall. I'm picking Pearsall every time now. That's it. I mean, if something were to magically change next tomorrow or something, I don't know,
The
but.
problem is the 49ers, they don't have no money. They have no money to pay. Jennings is just going to have to play with a broken calf the entire season.
They don't have no money, but yet they're going to, like, waltz into the, you know, the playoffs and stuff. I mean, oh, we might disagree about that too. I
We
don't
will
know.
disagree about that.
All right. Let's move it on. Let's talk about Tampa Bay. Lots to note here. So Jalen McMillions, oh my heart, oh my heart, my heart, my heart. He has been placed on IR from that horrific injury that he sustained in the preseason game, where honestly he made a ridiculous catch. I was all ready to be like, McMillions, to see, this is my boy, whatever. He's been placed on IR. He's done. That's it. We have since adjusted our opinions on Evans and with Ibuka, especially Ibuka. We'll get to that later today. Rashad White, he's got his groin. He's got a growing issue. He's not practicing. He's day to day. Okay,
You said he's got a growing issue or a
he's
groin
got a groin issue, and he's
issue?
not practicing. He's day to day. This is obviously, it impacts. Like, I feel better about Irving, but I really feel good about Sean Tucker. I could see Sean Tucker just completely just, and Sean Tucker looked great. He really did in preseason. I think Rashad White's a depreciating asset. So the Chris Godwin thing, obviously he's got the ankle. He's going. I love how they're not declaring it. We know that he's starting the season on the PUP, and more serious reports are coming that his time on the PUP could actually be longer than 4 weeks. We'll find
Yeah, he'll
out.
be back by week 7 and he'll be a end of season darling.
Right in time to mess up all your Abuka hope and your Evans hope. Yeah. All right, Tennessee, Tajae Spears. I know Tommy doesn't like this one. He's at the high ankle sprain. He's
He's
hopeful for
fine.
the opener. I don't know if he's going to be ready for the opener. I
No,
don't.
he'll be there week 2, week 3, but it's fine. Take him at his
All
ADP.
right, and we'll talk about that. And Washington, this is good. Oh, lots of fun. We love doing this. So Terry McLaurin, no contract yet. So
Yep,
Tom.
I lost my bet.
So you lost. He did not get a contract by 11:59 a.m. He just doesn't have a contract now. So he has no contract, but he has been activated and he's available to practice finally. Whether he does practice is only God knows. I'm worried about this. We've adjusted him in our tiers and rankings commensurately. There's no guarantee on a contract, and even if they do agree, he hasn't been practicing. He needs to get into practice, and he's not the level of, like, Malik Nabers, where he doesn't need practice. Not at 30 years old or whatever he is. And you know, we've got the Brian Robinson situation. So, Mr. Lang, why don't you take this one here?
So Brian Robinson, there's been notes out there that potentially the team is shopping him, and they're very open about that because he's also looking for a contract. So he really hasn't been doing much participation in practice as much. Obviously we saw in the preseason there's been a lot of talent that they have in that backfield, which I'm not too worried about starting the season without Brian Robinson. But you know, to be completely honest, they're potentially looking for draft picks. They may have to take on some of the money, if they trade him, when it comes down to the remaining part of his contract. But Brian Robinson potentially is looking to. There was two places that potentially he may fall to. One was Miami, as we talked earlier. There's some speculation because of the Achane injury, and the other one you said was you heard about that one, right?
Yes.
What was that one?
I heard Cincinnati and I heard Miami and I heard Chicago. Yes.
So I mean, so if it's Cincinnati, I mean that's going to be rough for
Chase
us,
Brown.
Chase Brown followers. So I don't think it's huge, but I do think obviously the goal line touches, that's going to be a huge scenario, taking away. So you gotta buyers beware. I think a lot of these things are going to adapt before the season starts and before 90% of the drafts actually occur. But just be very hesitant if you're drafting this weekend. And nothing happens, be a little hesitant on Brian Robinson's ADP. Even though you're getting him in the seventh, eighth round, still a player that doesn't have technically, I guess, a team. He is on the Washington Commanders right now, but technically, if he's not practicing, he doesn't really have a team right now. Be a little w weary on that. So, I'd be a little hesitant about taking Brian Robinson, as I stated about 4 or 5 times in 5 minutes.
Yeah, so just in this, like, as we close out the injury review, before we get into tiers, it's probably a perfect time to mention that. So we're recording this today ahead, like on purpose, because I don't want to say most, but a gigantic amount of people are doing their drafts this coming weekend. We are recording this today. Today is August 20th. So this coming weekend, a gigantic amount of people are drafting, enough so that it's like we wanted to wait to put out our final draft, our final rankings and tiers, and do a final injury roundup next week. But Tommy made it clear to me that because so many people are drafting, we have to get this out. I bring this up to be, let's pretend that you're not drafting this weekend and you're drafting farther along, maybe even up, right up until kickoff or something. You need to be paying attention to injuries, et cetera, trades, suspension contracts, all this stuff right up to it. And then like adjust your the way you feel about things accordingly.
And the good thing I will say, sometimes on your applications, when you're the application that you're drafting on, it will give news and notes on those actual players as well too. So, say if you put those guys in your queue as you're looking through, do your due diligence and look at these players as you're waiting on your next pick. You got to look at that stuff as you're drafting, because little things can start popping up in the middle of the night or during your draft that you just may not know. Like a couple of years ago, I think we all remember somebody drafted. I think it was a I forget what player it was, but they drafted this player in the first round, and we found out that that player got injured and he was out for the season.
There's been a bunch of that. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't, and I can't recall, but I remember it happening, and it was a live draft. Nobody had their information. It was all pen and paper, and we basically went up. The person put the name on the board, and bam, everybody's laughing because that person didn't do their homework. So. And we were ruthless. We did not allow that person to take that number one pick off the board.
no, and we would like that not to happen to you guys
Yes.
because we
Don't let
care.
that happen.
It's only you can prevent
Only you can prevent who you pick.
these are the people that you pick. Yeah, so there we go. So that's our injury roundup. That's our, contract suspension, everything relevant of a note. Let's keep that on the back of our mind, because we're gonna bring up our rankings and tiers now, our final rankings and tiers across every single major position group. And we're excited to bring this to you. So let me pull this up. Tommy, why don't you tell us? We're gonna be starting at quarterback here. So
Yeah, so we're just going over our updated tiers for your drafts. In obviously these sections, we're going to be reviewing what had we put together back a couple weeks ago, and now we're going to have some updates on our tiers, and we're going to pretty much go through this, I would assume, fairly quickly, because there's not much to really rank as much anymore. It's just to update some of the areas. So,
Yeah. And what we'll point out in certain areas where we disagree, but more importantly, we'll point out where like some of the stuff we just talked about, like injury concerns, et cetera. So here's our updated quarterback list, where basically Tommy and me are pretty much lockstep on just about everything at this point. So everything that's changed or whatever. So a couple notes that we wanted to mention. So Jaden, we've moved down. basically because of the McLaurin situation, on top of the fact of just some of the bad vibes in general. Doesn't mean that we think he's going to be bad at all, just in terms of what the price is, and where he's at, etc. So that's where he's at. By the way, love how the numbering just magically happened here. So we're gonna fix that right now, because 6, 7, 8. Yeah, because that's how we count in America. Another thing to note is, like, we should do a job to point out, like, where we see value here. So we still see Prescott as a gigantic value, as to where he's going. He's been a target of ours in a lot of the drafts we've been doing. On top of late shots on Justin Fields. Yeah, go ahead.
So I, just looking at our ranking element, tier 1 through 5, I really feel like those are like you're drafting them and they're your starter. Like you have no question. There's really no, doesn't matter what the matchup is kind of thing. You're gonna lock, you know, gonna set them and lock them
Be hard
unless,
to sit them. It's gonna be hard to
yeah,
sit them.
barring injury or barring a situation. 6 on. These are pretty much kind of like, late round flyers. If you may have to start some of them because you're going super heavy on, the positional plays. But again, Mahomes, Herbert, we were discussing off the record, Fields. I really feel that Fields should be in tier 6, based on his legs being mobile. I do think that he's starting to show a little bit of flash with his passing game as well too. Even these little dink and dunks, they add up. And if he runs, a 10 yard rush into the end zone, that's 6 points right there. So I don't believe that he's gonna throw 20 plus touchdowns this year, but I think in total he can have, probably about 25, 26 touchdowns overall. That's rushing and also passing. So
I agreed when we talked about this. I agreed with you halfway. So my logic is, and now we could kind of mention, like, what these asterisks are. So the guys that have an asterisk, they are significantly better in 6 point than they are in 4 point. So in 4 point touchdown, which is default, I see Fields as leagues, maybe not leagues, but just like significantly over these kind of traditional passing, like, pocket passer guys. I would want him way, way more than these guys. But if it's a 6 point passing touchdown league, especially if they give out bonuses for yards or for long touchdowns or something, I would prefer all these guys over Fields at that point. Fields' superpower is going to be rushing the football and rushing touchdowns. Like we pointed out, just go look at that preseason game. He waltzed his way right into the end zone. No reason to think he's not going to do that for the whole season. That's sort of why we've got him where we've got him. And by the way, we should point out, let's just talk tier three. I'd put Burrow at the head of tier three if it's a 6 point passing touchdown over Hurts and Jaden.
100%, because he's going to throw more than 40 touchdown passes this year.
Right. Now, Baker, we've got at the head of tier four. I would put Prescott all the way ahead of Nixon Kyler if it's a 6 point, because he's not going to rush as much. If not,
I personally may put him ahead of Baker.
that's him. I wouldn't. I think Baker is in kind of Baker's really, I think he's just, and also Baker, it was a bit of a rushing. He had a bit of a better rushing baseline than he normally has last year,
But
but I
even,
just,
but even, but so let me ask you. So do you think that that Evans and Abuka are better than CeeDee Lamb and Pickens?
No, but I think Baker is better than Prescott.
But you have to go with the talent around them as well too, because he can't do it all himself, right? So
Sure, but
the thing is,
I think they have more talent. I mean, I'm a bit worried. It's just we're splitting hairs. It's
yeah.
like, you know what I mean? Like, we're being like, they're
Let me
both
just put it this
very good.
way. I mean, if you're going to take Baker in the 6th round,
Right.
I'll
We're
wait and take Prescott in the
I,
ninth.
that's sort of the point. We're seeing we're talk if we're talking value, Prescott's the value. Prescott's a value. Fields is a value. I mean, even Kyler is a value, but less so than Prescott. He's been such a target for us. So there we go. We should point out some of the late round shots. There's a lot of guys in here. May could end up taking off as his second year. Tua, he's always there. I mean, if he stays healthy, he's gonna throw yards. He's gonna have touchdowns. Trevor Lawrence, if he makes the big leap, it's worth keeping in mind. Bryce had it going on towards the end of last year. Here's the thing: if you're not gonna get a hold of a late round shot, if you're really, really, really gonna wait, that's fine. Just call your shot of what you think. If you think Rodgers is going to light it up in Pittsburgh to everybody's amazement, go for it. Like, if you want to call that shot, just this is right now kind of how we see it. So All right, we'll save wide receivers and running backs. We'll get a little, because that gets a little complicated. Let's just jump to tight ends. Lots of fun here. So tight ends, no real surprises here. We will point out where certain little things are to be mentioned. So Brock and McBride at the top, as we did before. We got Kittle in a league of his own, especially now with the Jennings thing. Now, we kind of had this whole punt situation, and I think that might have given people the wrong idea. It doesn't mean that you never take a tight end. It means that just at the price that the people were going, it was just impossible. And I just want to point out that like there is a point at which if some of these guys drop, that I would take them, but it's not going to be at the price they are, because to me, it's you need to take more shots at running back and wide receiver. So case in point, with the Flacco news. Like we've got Njoku up here in the tier three tight ends. I'd be perfectly happy with Njoku, but like maybe not at like a sixth round or something. No. Like if it dropped a little longer, because there's so many other shots you could take at tight end. So let's point out some of these late round guys that we just really believe in. So things, you can say what you want. Things just keep opening up for Pitts. You got the Mooney injury going into a contract year, some level of good stuff coming out of camp to some degree. He's a late round shot. If you want to pull that trigger, I definitely would, especially at the price that he's going. Kincaid, he's got the Bills upside. Somebody in the Bills has to step up. And me and Tommy, Tommy, he's got me on the Ferguson train. So Prescott is going to have to throw a lot.
Personally, I feel that Ferguson should be in tier three. But
And I think it's a bridge too far.
for you it is. I'll agree with that to some extent, but I believe that Ferguson, based on what he does and the offense he's on, he should be above Pitts. But everybody has their opinion, just like everybody has things that
Right. Finish that sentence another day. So, just below them, we've got the three of the rookies that we think are absolutely going to be very, very significant, and their upside is gigantic for fantasy. That's Colson Loveland for the Bears, Ty Warren for the Colts, and Mason Taylor for the Jets. Mason Taylor is one of our
And
best
guys,
values.
we got to remember, Brock is only going into his second year. McBride's going into his what, third year, fourth year, but technically he's going into his third year fantasy wise, relevance wise. You got to look at it from this perspective. You look at some of these guys like Loveland, Warren, Taylor, they can potentially be a finishing player like how Brock and McBride were. I'm not saying to that full extent, but they can finish in the top five, and you could get them super late. And there's so much value to waiting on these tight ends if you're not going to pull the
Absolutely.
trigger and take one of these guys early on when you have other value that are much, much fuller to your roster.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. If you're passed on, if you know in your draft people have passed on all these, and you need to go super late, you could grab your veteran of choice of the guy that you believe in. Ertz is likely to have a great season
Early.
early. And now we got the little asterisk here, because assuming McLaurin plays, if McLaurin doesn't play, I would jump Ertz up a couple spots here. But he's definitely good to see. Hunter Henry, you could definitely do worse. Tucker Kraft, he's always got the upside of the Green Bay offense. Chigakonkwo, he's a super athletic guy on a team that's going to need short area targets, and throw in
And
whatever vet
it's a rookie quarterback.
rookie quarterback. And if you have other vets that you're, again, if you believe in it, you could take that shot. And we just wanted to point out, if you're really looking for upside and you don't want to try like a more vet that you kind of know where they're at, you could always go with Arroyo or Ferguson from the Rams. Now, Ferguson from the Rams, he's going to take a while to get going because Higbee's there. But Arroyo, it's not been official yet, but if he starts and he gets going, Darnold could definitely be relying on high percentage shots to Arroyo. He looks very athletic. He's looked good in the preseason. Just worth keeping
Yeah,
in
I
mind.
feel more comfortable taking Arroyo if I'm going that super late than Ferguson.
I agree. I will say this. It like us in the way that we've been doing stuff, like there's no like Taylor is one of these late round shots because of where he's going versus how high we think he is. And Pitts, Kincaid, and Taylor have been three of my later round shots that I've been going. And I know Tommy's been lumping in Ferguson there. So you guys make of that what you will. I would say this, I would grab Kittle if he drops to the fifth, but he's never going to get there. The fourth, maybe, depends on where I am. So Let's keep that in mind. All right, let's talk about let's talk about running backs. Yeah, now things get interesting. Okay, so at running back here, we got a lot of changes to point out. Let's just let, and we got a lot of things to mention. And once we get kind of like to these sort of areas, we'll point out like where differences lie within the tiers. So tier one, we got Bijan, Saquon, Gibbs, and CMC. For various different reasons, you could see any one of them finishing as the RB1. Different ones of them have different risk ratings. Obviously, CMC is more risky, but the reward could be much better. You guys can make of that what you will. Tier two, Ashton Jeantie, Derrick Henry, they're going to be about as safe as you can. You know they're going to get work. And Devon Achane. And we're going to give a special mention to Devon Achane. I don't blame anybody, Tommy included, if you're worried about some of the injuries, his current situation, thoughts of, players being traded into Miami or whatever. If you are okay, then you call your shot and you draft a tier three back. But if everything's copacetic and he's great, and if he's playing and he's not badly injured, he's going to have a great season for Miami. Jono is gone; he's going to be incurring a lot of targets. Tommy, you're the person here to represent that voice of public opinion on Devon Achane. How you would take all four of these guys over Achane now due to those concerns, or no?
I mean, again, Achane, people are going to think I'm crazy for this, but Achane is a great talent, right? But he's so injured. And for him to be that high up on people's boards with these injuries and then, his size, and even Tyreek Hill has come out and said, Devon Achane is not a goal line guy, right?
All right. Oh,
Listen.
now we get the player talk now. Now
Yeah.
we're
When the player talk comes in,
right.
I mean, obviously Tyreek Hill loves to talk. Which is fine, but you know what? He's a vocal point of that offense, and he's saying this guy is not a goal line guy, right? Achane is a very, very elusive guy. He's going to do crazy, spectacular things, but he's going to get hurt, and that's the problem. That is a big problem, and I would personally rather take a little bit more of a durable back as my RB1 than, or potentially RB2, depending on how you're drafting, than take Devon Achane. Let somebody else have him and have the headache of the injuries. Now this could blow up in my face for the
Sure.
entire season. But personally, I'd rather take Chase based on the upside. I'd rather take Taylor, Kyren, and Jacobs.
Okay.
I'm teetering between Jacobs, but I would take Jacobs over him.
Yeah, and I don't blame you for having those feelings, but you got to remember, like, the way that we rank, it's like we have to point out, hey, listen, if it's a non-injury, I mean, the risk is built in, but if it's a non-injury, that's right about where he goes. He's going to have an endless amount of targets if he's there. So, tier three, like we just mentioned, man, the opportunity for Chase Brown is great. Josh Jacobs, you know what he's going to do in Green Bay. Jonathan Taylor, things are looking great, especially with an amazing offensive line. And now with Daniel Jones as quarterback, I'm feeling great about Taylor. And Kyren Williams, who, to Tommy's point, could be a big beneficiary if Stafford is having issues throwing the ball. He's already been such a touchdown machine. He just got the bag. Go for Kyren. I just point out here. So we've got, these are 11 names here. I would be perfectly happy with all of them as my running back one. Now we get into like this halfway tier where, okay, if I have to have one of them as my RB1, fine, but I'd be really looking to get one of these guys. But so let's point out this kind of, little halfway tier here. So James Cook, Chuba Hubbard, and Bucky Irving. So let's point out we are low on Bucky Irving compared to consensus. And part of it is just like it's just people are just imbuing so much into him on a team that is going to just pass the ball a lot. There's lots of running backs there. There's lots of options there. Like it's a bit much to put him over some of these other guys. My issue with James Cook is he was so touchdown dependent last year. I don't know if I could see all those touchdowns being coming back. My level
He's
of
very, he's very, he's very talented on that offense, and also having Josh Allen, it's going to take a lot away from him. So,
Well, either way, I can't see myself taking, like, that's why we see a tier break difference. And Chuba, I think we're right around, maybe we're slightly higher than consensus on where Chuba's going. He's the guy. He is the guy in Carolina. He's being spelled by Rico Suave. He's going to be
The
good on an improving offense.
Yeah, and honestly, you know, if we're kind of looking at the tier five element, I'd probably, based on the situation with you know, what's going on in LA, I probably would bump up Amari and Hampton to our RB1, RB2 look. Because I really feel that, you know, young, fresh legs going in there on a really, really run heavy offense, that is a really, really great opportunity for him to fall in that category there.
It's close. It's very close. I don't know. I personally would wish that I didn't have it as my RB1, but it's close. Let's talk
Yeah.
about that tier. So again, now we're getting into like top end of RB2. This is Amari Hampton, who for every reason we described before, Breece Hall, who
I'm nervous about Breece Hall being here.
I'm nervous about. We could be completely wrong too. He could be higher than this. I mean, if they end up
No.
stopping with this committee nonsense, I
I
mean.
think he could be lower.
Again, I would say this though, if it's a full PPR, I feel way better about the situation. But let's add it. Let's suggest to everybody that there's a bit of a risk rating here. If they go with this quote unquote committee thing, then it might not be as pretty. But if they don't, he could be low where he's at. So just worth keeping in mind. And obviously Kamara, who's going to have a trillion targets for the
Yeah.
first half of the year, whatever. Tier six. So now we're getting into like the low end of RB2. James Conner, we're feeling good about, at least for the first half of the year. Tony Pollard, especially with the Spears injury, he's going to be the guy. And then we get into just guys that, like we just said, we've had about enough of. This is where they're going because if they're there, they're going to be valuable as an RB2. Can you trust them? Are they going to last the season? I don't know. You guys go ahead and answer that. If I. We're purposely putting them there because that is where they belong. If push comes to shove right now, if I'm in a draft, I am 100% passing on them to take a wide receiver. It's not a question. I just, it's a level of risk that I'm not happy enough with. So let's keep it going. So now we start getting into, so that's 21 names. So now we get into like the bubble tier. DeAndre Swift, who right now is the guy in Chicago. It is what it is. We'll see if that sticks. And Isaiah Pacheco, who, again, like I said, Tommy's kind of got me more on the realm of he's going to be good. He's going to be solid. Is he going to be amazing? Probably not, but he's going to be way better than he was last year with another year left. And he's going into a contract year. So good for Rutgers. And we've got Travis Etienne and David Montgomery here. So this is right about where we see Etienne. I would be trying so hard to not have him as my RB2 because I would love the freedom to just be like, okay, the up, like enjoying the upside that we see. We can see him resuming back to, a really, really productive back as the guy in Jacksonville. We're seeing it, but maybe not. Then I would hope to not have him as my RB2. And you wouldn't have to take him. His ADP right now is so much lower. So we're seeing him as a value. And then,
Yeah, he's definitely a value looking at like your RB3, RB4 potentially.
yeah, you wouldn't have to take him there, but his upside, I mean, we're feeling it. Like, I just don't see him as an RB2, but we want to make sure we show like how the upside. All right, so now we get into some interesting tiers here. So now the way that we have them written is important because I'm not necessarily saying that these guys are necessarily over these guys are necessarily over these guys. A lot of it is going to be kind of calling your shot. However, the way we kind of see it is, yeah, generally speaking, these guys are over these guys, are over these guys. But if you want to call your shot and you see it differently, feel free. Case in point, the other starters in the NFL that are not as valuable as the other guys that we have, we've got Aaron Jones in Minnesota. Again, 50, he's going to be 50-50ing it the whole year with Mason. Travion Henderson, superstar rookie. He's going to be 50-50ing it with Stevenson. Harvey. Again, he's not going to be 50-50 in from the beginning, but will take over at some point. You guys could determine how long that happens. And also, we know Sean Payton, McLaughlin or Estime or whoever else is going to get involved. Jaylen Warren is going to start. I'm so sick of this overemphasizing of the Caleb Johnson stuff. Jaylen Warren's good. At most, they're going to start doing 50-50 throughout the year. Tyrone, but if you believe, hey, if you think we're wrong, go ahead, call your shot and get yourself some Caleb Johnson. Tyrone Tracy, he's going to be the guy until Scadaboo comes back. And then even when he's back, it's probably going to be at best, what, 50-50 in the Giants, right? Like,
Probably. I, you know, Scadaboo is way more talented than Tracy.
yeah. We've got the Dallas situation. So Javonte Williams, who is going to at least get all the work, at least in the first part of the season. So you guys could judge that how it is. You got Jerome Ford, who, like we said, the Judkins situation notwithstanding, he's going to get all the work for the first half of the season. Again, spelled by Sampson, who we'll talk about. And then, okay, we'll talk about now Brian Robinson, the Brian Robinson situation. We had Brian Rob excuse me, we had Brian Robinson higher before we basically continued to hear all the bad vibes about the situation. We should spell this out. So if he is going to get traded, first of all, his value plummets to me no matter where he gets traded to. I can't see one place where that doesn't happen. But even if he's not traded, the way things are going and the way that he's complaining about the contract and all this other stuff, like he's not going in looking to be the dominant guy and, earn his money in the contract year. They've got other guys there, the ascension of Jacory something something. I forget his full name. Eckler still very good, and Chris Rodriguez is good. Like it made us worried about Robinson. No way that we're as high on him as we were, and we're just going to identify it as a risky pick. I mean, maybe he gets traded in the middle of the season. I don't know.
If it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen as a season before the season starts, I think.
Yeah, maybe you're right. All right, let's talk about the quote unquote backups with their own standalone value, the ones of which we didn't mention. So let me leave, like we just said, we just talked about the Brian Robinson situation. That basically leaves Eckler. I have it written as Eckler and friends. This is Austin Eckler, Chris Rodriguez, and Jacory something. Jacory, I was about to say Jacory Myers, Jacory Manson. I forget. JCM. That's how I'm
JCM.
JCM. So I think personally, I think the internet is
Corey
overreacting.
Kreisky Myers.
Corey Kroski Myers. Okay. I think the internet is overreacting to
Garrett.
his performance from one preseason game. I know Tommy does not think otherwise. So I want you to give me a realistic prediction about if Robinson were to get traded, what would the backfield look like for Washington?
Merritt is the it's Merritt's gonna take over.
Nothing to Eckler.
He'll be the third down back, but Merritt's going to take over, man.
Okay. I'm not as bullish about that. If you do believe that, then JCM is a great late round shot for the
I'm a
upside, if nothing,
believer.
for the upside of nothing else. Let's make a mention of Bigsby. So obviously Tommy and I are super high on ETN because we believe ETN is the guy. However, generally speaking across the internet, they have a consensus that Bigsby is the guy. So, and a lot of people have the consensus that none of them is the guy. So we're just pointing it out that there is some upside potential. It, just we're kind of pointing it out just as a way to hedge bets that this is probably right about where ETN would have been going, but we see just much more upside with ETN.
Yep.
Not Najee Harris. Again, at some point when he comes back, he's going to be a player in the backfield. Hampton isn't going to get everything now just because he's been gone. But again, we don't know. He's not been practicing. So he will have standalone value on his own even when he comes back. And then Rashad White, of course, I am worried about him in general. But I mean, really, where he's going, if you need some standalone value, then White's the guy to get it. So you got to remember at this point in where you're grabbing running backs, if you really need standalone value because you have to fill in a slot because you went zero RB, then these are the guys to go get. However, if it's me and I know I need to fill in a back, I've already filled out other backs. I want to go for some guys with upside, and that could be any guys in the next two tiers. Any of these guys in these tiers has massive upside based on hey, if this, then this, and some guys more than others. So let's point them out. So we got Charbonnet, as Tommy eloquently pointed out, like one slip up from Ken Walker, Charbonnet's the guy, and he's gonna be on a team that is going to need to use him. Jaden Blue, super talented guy. Anything that happens with Javonte, they drafted him. That regime drafted him. Go for it, Blue on a good offense, and they'll need it. Tommy disagrees with this, but I think Roschon is a great back, and I think if DeAndre Swift slips up, Roshan's the guy. He completely takes over. He's already shown flashes of that stuff. I know you don't agree. Judkins, like we pointed out, when he comes back, once he gets his feet under him, he was drafted to be the guy, so he will take over at some point. You guys can point out when you think that'll happen. Tajay Spears, I know Tommy's darling. You think he's at least 50-50 with Pollard when he comes back?
I think he probably might take over a little bit more than 50-50 as the season goes on.
Based on his performance at the end of last year,
Yep.
basically. Okay. And then we've got the Houston situation, Chubb and Pierce. So
And it's
if.
not all, it also going back to Spears, it's not
Sure,
all, it's
sure.
not just on last year's performance last year. He was good with Derrick Henry being there as well, too. So, going back a couple of years.
Okay. And then the Houston situation, Chubb and Pierce. So Chubb
I
and
mean, I'm
Pierce.
not really on the Pierce train, but Chubb is probably a little bit more ahead of, Pierce there.
Yeah, I it'll be
There's
interesting to
more
see
value
who.
in taking him where he's at. I mean, Pierce, you could just find him on the waivers.
Basically, no, I agree with that. And it'll be interesting to see. Honestly, if Mixon's not there, I see that just as a committee. It'll be Chubb and Pierce basically completely 50-50. So, all right. So now, again, you want to talk upside? Let's talk upside. So there are handcuffs in the draft that are very, to us, very, very high value handcuffs, not just for your team, but if you grab them. These are guys that are like could pay off dividends for you as the league goes on. We got Trey Benson, Arizona, Ray Davis from Buffalo, Garendo from San Francisco, Braylon Allen, the Jets, Kendre Miller. Just keep it in mind that, like we just said, Alvin Kamara can't keep doing this. And Kendre Miller did start to show a little bit of flashes. We'll see. We'll keep an eye on it. Sean Tucker, I think, is the better talented backup for Tampa Bay, not Rashad White. And we've got Samson. And like the Samson thing, like while Judkins isn't there, Samson's a super talented rookie running back. He could take right over if Ford starts to not be
On
as
a
good or if they're slow
on a bad offense.
on a bad offense. Just again, at this point in the draft, you're looking for upside. I'd rather have Samson than, I don't know, Bigsby or something. You know what I'm saying? Like it's
I don't know
like,
about that.
you get what I'm saying. Like when you're looking for upside, and then
Yeah, I
let's just.
know what you're talking about upside, but I mean, I think Bigsby has a little bit more of a vital role than Samson.
Whatever, then forget I said that name. So anyway, you guys
All
are
right,
getting
so
the.
let's say, all right, so would you take Samson over Allen, Braylon Allen?
Samson, no. No.
Okay.
But I would take Garendo over Stevenson, but like meaning there'd be no way that I would be grabbing Stevenson. You see what I'm saying? Like if I'm looking for that level of upside. So
Okay.
again, assuming that I drafted running backs early, then that's kind of like how I'd play it. Let's talk about the Miami backfield. So we talked about it earlier. If Achan is not going to play, Ollie Gordon and Jalen Wright are both much more valuable than what they are. And I know Tommy, you're higher on Ollie Gordon. That's what you see happening, right? Okay. I don't know. I think they're going to continue to try to give Jalen Wright a shot. I mean, they did that same regime did draft him, so it'll be interesting to see how that shapes up. But there we go. That's our running back tiers. We got through quite a lot. Really, the main point I would like to make is just bolstering the stuff that we said about the math that went viral on TikTok and the internet is unless you're specifically going for like a no running back or you got some crazy league, you need to hit your running backs early so that you're stacked in and then you can take your shots at where you see upside or you could call your shot later. So definitely worth keeping in mind.
Yeah, I think our viewers are definitely looking to be interested in our wide receivers as well too.
Let's talk about wide receivers as we get through this. So this is interesting. We'll try to get through this pretty quickly here. So we got Ja'Marr Chase at the top, no difference. Jefferson and Lamb, and then we've got the tier three guys. So we've bumped up Nico. I'm feeling a lot better about Nico. We're feeling great about it. Amon-Ra, Nico. I would take Nico ahead of Puka and Malik right now for all those injury reasons we just said. I would have Puka at the top of this tier if it wasn't for Stafford, but it is what it is. And we've got Malik Nabers now lower because of, again, we got the toe situation, et cetera, et cetera. And we
They'll
feel
be
great.
fine.
And it'll be fine. But again, like I'm all on the Nico train. I really, really am. I think he's going to be great. Yeah, there's really nothing else to say. Tier four, we see a difference. Brian Thomas, we don't see in that tier. We've lowered it because of how we are, what's coming out about Travis Hunter, et cetera. AJ Brown is here and Drake London. I feel bad about the AJ Brown situation because of the hamstring. So I guess if push came to shove, unless Brown gets it in, I guess I would have to go London if given that opportunity. However, At that point in the draft, I think Tommy and I have been more on the side of let's wait and let's get a running back, and then we'll try to wait around for the next set of wide receivers.
Yeah, because honestly, you're not going to find London that late, when it comes down to draft picks.
Sure. The next set of wide receivers, Marvin Harrison. We've seen a bounce back for him and the Cardinals passing and Garrett Wilson. Hey, he's going to get targets. We know it. Mike Evans, like we said, we're feeling this is much more of an early season thing. He's going to be dominant the first the early part of the season. Hopefully, his
But
body
again,
holds
that
up.
might be your target range. So you can
Right.
basically get somebody that's really high on, Mike Evans. You start to see his regression when it comes down to targets when some of these players start coming back onto the field, and that could be a really good trade away target.
Could not agree with you more. T. Higgins and Tyreek Hill, this is probably where we slotted him. Then we got Ladd McConkey, who we've dropped because of the news with Keenan Allen. We've dropped him right about here. He's still a clear wide receiver too. DK Metcalf, who we're feeling good about. We got these three guys. We kind of all seeing very similar. Metcalf, Moore, and Sutton, top guys for their team, and they should super athletic. They should be great for their teams. And this is where we slotted Devontae Adams. If we didn't have the Stafford situation, we wouldn't be as worried, but I mean, even with the Stafford situation, honestly, I don't even know. I might not even try to grab him at this point. So worth keeping in mind. Let's go to the next here. This is now, so that's the wide receiver ones and twos. This is the kind of wide receiver two, three bubble. We've got JSN, who we've been constantly low on. This is right about where we slot him in here. We're lower than consensus on it. We just don't believe in him as much as consensus does. We've got Jameson Williams here, who we think is such a fire pick.
Yeah, he's going to be a great pick, and I really think that he can find his way to the same value as the Metcalf, Moore, Sutton, to be honest. But
That it might not be as consistent, but again, it's worth keeping in mind. The upside there is gigantic. Got your Zay
yes.
Flowers. It's not going to be, again, similar to Jameson, not going to be as consistent, but he was probably going to end the year with a probably going to end the year pretty decently. Low end wide receiver two, high end three. Devontae Smith, he's always there. And this is right where we've got McLaurin slotted. Let's assume he plays. This is probably about where he goes. Although, like, man, we got to see some practices getting in there.
Yeah.
All right, so that's kind of the top. That's wide receivers ones and twos. So we made a point to not have the next guys here as your wide receiver one or two, because we want a bit of stability. Because these next guys, Worthy, Tet McMillan, Ibuka, and Pickens, have gigantic upside, but they're also their floor could be really low. They could be league winning guys, or they could be really low. So Worthy, we know he's going to be Mahomes' guy. Especially with Rashid, like he built a connection with him. He's going to be his guy, especially with Rashid Rice getting out at some point during the season. Tet McMillan, we know, on an ascending offense, hopefully his injury notwithstanding. Ibuka, we've already talked about Tampa's situation. And Pickens, man, Dallas is going to have to throw it all over the field. We're feeling good about Pickens, especially where his ADP is. So let's go on to the next tier. We got Calvin Ridley, Tommy's darling over here. We got Judge Judy, who's with Flacco. I bet you Judge Judy finishes a top five wide receiver week one. I bet you. Jalen Waddle. wait, did you want to address
No.
that? So,
Keep going.
all right. So Jalen Waddle, this is right about where we'd slot him. Again, could be, man, we're not really sure. Like, he could be much lower or he could be much higher, but this is where it is. Jakobi Meyers. Going to get peppered with targets on an improved offense, with a better running back and a better supporting cast. Definitely valuable for your team, especially in PPR. Chris Olave, super talented, great wide receiver, awful team. Right about where you can expect him to go. So here's the deal. So the Rashee Rice, we've got Debo here. The situation is that we know Rice is going to be good for the first part of the season, like we just pointed out. He's going to get suspended at some point. So you can judge that as it is, where that's valuable for your team. Right about here is where we see it. But if you believe in that's worth more or less to your team, you can adjust. And
Yeah.
here's the deal with Debo. So this is Tommy thinks I'm low here. I think I'm high
Higher here.
here, and I'm not sure how to handle it, especially because of the McLaurin thing. If McLaurin doesn't play, then by definition, he's too low here. If McLaurin does play, Tommy still thinks he's low here. How
Yeah,
high
I
would,
mean, these
yeah.
two players, Ridley and Debo, I believe that they should be in tier
Ridley.
8, but again, we have to agree to disagree sometimes
Sure.
and to fit these tier systems together, and unfortunately, based on the situation, But if we did our own tiers, I would bump them up a little bit.
We've compromised on other things. I haven't actually like mentioned a couple. Like for example, like I'm feeling great about Jameson. I'd be, like whatever. We don't have to get too deep in it. We do have
No.
some disagreements. Some of the bigger ones we'll point out. All right, so now let's talk about depth and where you take your shots and calling your shots. So let's talk about guys with gigantic upside, maybe even lower floors. So we've got the Pearsall Jennings situation, which, like I said, for me, it's all Pearsall at this point. We got Roma Dunze. Again, this is the wide receiver two for what is a going to be a factors improved offense. I think gigantic, gigantic upside. And by the way, Odunze is part of their future. DJ Moore isn't. We got the Golden and Reed situation. I've been on Jaden Reed's bandwagon the entire offseason, but I can't deny what's been going on, the drumbeat going on from camp, and I cannot deny that Jaden Reed's hurt. So maybe Golden gets a chance to take off right away. We got the Travis Hunter thing, the upside there. We know who he is. The upside's huge. I am not as bullish as Tommy is, so personally, I think I would take him lower than some of the guys below, but I know that Tommy loves him, so I've compromised
How about we do
there.
this? How about we swap Keenan Allen and Hunter and we just call it right there?
Is that what you think?
That's what I think we should do.
Okay.
Because Keenan Allen is going to be great this year.
He is going to be great this year. Okay, look at
That's a
us.
live update.
Live update, sir. All right. So, Stephon Diggs, who, despite his veteran day situation, he's going to play. He's going to get peppered with targets. He's by far the best receiver there, is what it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean,
I
Keenan
think
Allen is the greatest steal out of all these players right here, though.
we think. I mean, they do have a lot of players there. Trey Harris.
It's gonna happen.
Okay. Well, again, we're calling our shot. We still think, obviously, I would not. He's definitely good for where he's going in ADP. Let's talk about the next thing. Call your shot with the Indianapolis wide receivers. Daniel Jones has been named starter, so we're feeling good about lots of the other players of what we could have felt like versus if it was Richardson. I've always been on the downside, but if you think it's going to be Pittman, then you skip downs and you grab Pittman wherever he is. I've always been on the downside. So you could go with what you will. This is right around where we've got Cooper Kupp. The upside, some upside is there, but it's just, his age and what they're trying to do in Seattle. And, I think they're going to be a bad team. I just can't see how it's going to be much more valuable than that. So you guys can judge it like it is. Travis Hunter, we already spoke about. And then Shakir. Shakir is probably the biggest one that we've dropped as far as we have. That injury really derailed what we felt about him. We still think the upside is there, but now it's basically just upside. Like he's not walking into just targets. He's missed so much of the training camp. I would, and he's not going to fall to a point in the draft where I'll take it. Maybe he will, but we just wanted to mention that. It's unfortunate because we all like Shakir. All right, so now we just want to mention we don't exactly know how to really rank Addison and Godwin. This is more just what you feel about your team, like we're saying. So Addison is not going to play for 3 weeks, and Godwin is not going to play for 4, 5, 6 weeks. So if you think your team can support that, and when and if they can support that on your team, we're not going to stop you. You go ahead and do it. I won't be doing that, not at the price that they're going, but you guys can do it as you see fit. And let's just talk. And then at the end of the day, if you prefer, even over some of these guys, if you call your shot and you think that there's some guys that you believe in, Keon Coleman could, they got to have some kind of a wide receiver one in Buffalo. Maybe it's Keon Coleman. Wandell Robinson.
Yeah.
Go
And
ahead.
like Billy said, you're going to call your shot. We're trying to bring this information to you guys so you can have a baseline to look at. We have obviously done our research, we've done our work, we've looked at the math, we put it all together, and this is what really just kind of looks for us for this year's opportunities for that, for there to be tremendous upside for players to finish in the position that we believe they're going to finish based on the situations that are in front of them. You take it as you want, but again, a lot of these players are going to really produce, and some of them are going to overproduce in categories. That's why we have them ranked in different positions.
Yep. So Wandale, how many targets did he have last year?
140.
140 targets. And they're gonna have presumably better quarterback play. Somebody else has got to catch the ball besides Malik Nabers. We've identified Wandale as a great late round
Yeah, he'll
shot.
get like about at least 110 targets. Now, he needs to get more yards. yards in his catches though. So that's the problem. But
You could
PPR, it's amazing.
also call your shot with Leggett and Thielen. We're generally on the Leggett side, but it cannot be denied the connection that Thielen had with Bryce Young at different points of the last 2 years. You could call your shot with the Houston situation. I've been on the side of, I know Tommy's on the side of Christian Kirk. I think that the rookie that they specifically went out to go draft, Higgins, I think the upside there is really massive, but it's not like I'm gonna bank on it. So late round shots indeed. And then Cedric Tillman. I mean, let's not forget the connection that had when he had good quarterback play. He was extremely good. He was almost in must start territory for a stretch last year. If nothing else, if you need a late round shot, I think the Browns are going to put up a lot of points against the Bengals in week one, which I keep coming back to. Just a quick note on our little tiers here. Like we're saying, we're talking shots this and shots that, and take your shot here, take your shot there. If we really wanted to codify it and we did it as best as we could, I'd obviously rather be taking shots on the Pearsall Jennings, Adunze, Golden Reed. These are to me are better shots. But if you've gotten to that point in your draft and you've let stuff go, these are perfectly fine shots to take, but these are better ones. I mean, you guys judge it. If at this point, I would say right around, round 9, round 10, round 11, at that point in the draft, ADP means so much less. So if you want to call your shots and take the guys that you want, that's the point of which to take it. So there we go. Those are our tiers. We got through all of them on top of them. We pointed out every little injury situation. So we quickly before we let everybody go, let's quickly point out some of our biggest values. Like we said, Prescott's an amazing value. Fields an amazing value. Those are probably our two biggest ones in according to current ADP at quarterback. Tight ends are some of our biggest ones are Ferguson, Kincaid, Pitts, and I would say Taylor also a tight end. Running back situation, we've been identifying ETN as a pretty major value at where he's going. On top of maybe some late round shots, we believe in Mason. We believe in I know Tommy believes in Spears. We used to believe in Robinson, not so much not so much anymore.
And we also think that Ford is a really good value as
Ford
well
is a good
too,
value for where
early
he's
on.
going. And earlier guys, like it's pretty cut and dry. You guys can make of it what you will. And wide receiver wise, I mean, there's a couple guys that we've been seeing. It's just a huge values for us. We've been seeing we see Metcalf, Moore, and Sutton as really great for where they're going. Abuka's going to be an amazing going to be an amazing value. And in terms of the late round shots, I mean, the Pearsall situation currently where he's going, I just think he's going to be great. So is Tet McMillan. So some of the names that jumped off. So there we go. Closing thoughts, Mr. Lang.
Yeah, we appreciate everybody that takes the time to watch our videos. If you could like, subscribe, yeah, we appreciate it.
Yes, we do. All right,
We
everybody.
and oh, sorry, and
Oh, yeah.
we will be dropping one more video this week. It's going to be our final mock draft of the season.
That's right.
So yeah, stay tuned. We will be dropping that this week.
Yes, we will. Thank you, everybody.